Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession Session, Tiffany Haddish was booed off stage. Our orange president is now playing with the people's lives in R. Kelly. Is he a pedophile or just a misunderstood pedophile? What's good, y'all? This your host, Angel Vondrina. And Jen Othello is online as well. But what's good, you guys? You are listening to the one and only What Jen Say It. Okay, he's playing games. But this is Confession Session, y'all. What's good, Jen Othello? What's going on with you this evening? Jen, are you here or not?
Yeah, just let me talk. Let me talk. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me knocking?
I hear you now. Can you let your neighbor on the phone line? That's all I'm saying. We're good, Jenotello. What's going on? How was your week? How was your New Year?
My week has been long. My New Year was good, you know. But this has been a rough start to the year, you know, trials and, you know, small stuff.
That's how it is sometimes.
All I gotta do is keep pushing and, you know.
That's right.
That's it.
Nothing much. Got downstairs on the stove, got ribs cooking. I got some corned beef cooking, cabbage, asparagus in the oven. You know, and
candy
some mashed potatoes. No, not candy yams. But I am cooking, and I usually cook for like 2 or 3 days for the week for work, and then for dinner and for lunch and for breakfast. So cooked all the breakfast shit this morning. Now I got the lunch and the dinner cooking on the stove. So, you know, slowly cooking, letting it get nice and tender so we can have some good lunch and keeping that keto diet on track. Been working out, doing Insanity for the last 5 days. Been kicking my ass, seriously. It's wonderful, but it is tough. It's really, really tough. It is, like, my hand hurts so bad because I think I told you guys, like, one day I woke up, like, 2 weeks ago, and my thumb had been bent all the way backwards. Like, it was, like, damn near broke, and it was stuck.
Oh,
and I was like, oh! And so I pushed it up and I popped it back into place, and it's been hurting so bad ever since. And so as soon as it started healing, it seemed like I was at work and I put my purse on and my thumb bent all the way backwards again, and it was stuck again. I was like, oh, fuck. And this happened, I think, like Friday, so a couple of days ago. And so I had to pop it back up again. And so now, because I've been jumping down, doing burpees and jumping back up, it seemed like my hand is numb and my wrist is numb a little bit too. So I'm going to go to the doctors about that. But it hurts. And other than that, everything else has been pretty good. New Year's was great. Did not stay up until 12 at all. I went to sleep. No gunshots. Everything was wonderful. It was just like quiet and great. And yeah, that was pretty much it. I had all my three kids at the house, and you know, we had a really great New Year's and ate some good food. And, you know, it now is reality. And I'm looking forward to what my results are going to be in 2 months after doing this insanity thing. And that's it, y'all. That's it. But we got a lot of things to talk about today. So before we get into those hot topics, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and, of course, this podcast from Blog Talk. And send us those confessions at confessionsthenumber2us@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe, and tag us in that drama. Jen, do you want to go ahead and hit them with that confession question of the day after the sparkle?
Absolutely. Confession question. Confession question. The talk of the internet is survivor R. Kelly. So let's talk R. Kelly. Let's get to those confessionals, Ms. Angel Vondrina.
All right, y'all. Okay, so according to NBCNews.com, like many people on New Year's Eve, Tiffany Haddish had a night she'd probably like to forget. While performing to a sold-out audience at James L. Knight Center in Miami, Haddish reportedly was booed so hard on Monday night, several fans had got up and they walked out of the comedy show. This is going to be on TMZ or whatever, the girl strip actress comedian told the unhappy patrons. Haddish, who confirmed the report on Tuesday, saying, "Yes, this happened. I wish it was better, Miami." Apparently forgot several of her jokes, and the ones she did recall, like her mother being in a mental institution or her friends asking for money, reportedly fell flat. Haddish had previously admitted to partying the night before until 7 in the morning, stating, "Not going to lie, I've been partying all night. I've been partying all morning. I can still feel the chronic in my system." As the hecklers and the boos grew louder at the New Year's show, Haddish before grabbed the bottle of vodka, drank on stage, and invited her audience members to come up and tell the jokes. "Fuck it," she said. "I really wanted to talk about some stuff, and I can't remember none of it." Jen, what is your opinion on Tiffany Haddish and the way she acted on stage?
Shit happens, but she definitely got to relax. I feel like Tiffany Haddish got to be in her late 30s, early 40s, so you know how you react after a night of partying, you know. So if you can't handle everything, you need to relax. This was like a big deal, I'm sure. If it was like a New Year's Eve performance, people are already doubting her as being a comedian. So she can't come slacking. But shit happens. I still don't. I mean, I haven't lost respect for her. I just hope that she doesn't have a problem and, you know, end up succumbing to those. Because staying up to 7 o'clock in the morning partying is insane. That sounds like a little more than just chronic, okay? What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. I have not at all whatsoever lost respect for Tiffany Haddish. I do think that in this instance, like, you're a professional and you know how hard it was for you to work and get to where you're at. So don't fuck it up because you want to party. You know, this is business. This is something you've gotten paid for, so come appropriate. You know, you can't be sitting up there forgetting your lines and forgetting your jokes. Me personally, I am a perfectionist, you know, or at least I try to be. Even before our podcast, I review my topics. I read over what I'm going to say. I know y'all may hear me stuttering a few times, or I may not know the words, but trust me, before I mention or say what I have to say, I'm looking, and I'm reading, I'm trying to pronounce it. Hell, sometimes I even go on YouTube and say how to pronounce this word because I don't know what the hell it is. You know, I look it up, what the definition of this is that I'm talking about, you know, and different things like that. So, and I try to, when I do come online and I talk to you guys, I try to educate you all and have you understand, you know, and maybe you all can help me understand certain things if I'm uneducated about it or ignorant to the fact of what I'm talking about. But I feel like in that instance, you know, you're a comedian. You have some jokes. It's fun. It's games. But don't get too much caught up in the partying that you forget what you're supposed to be doing because, once again, this is a business. You are getting paid for this, and you don't want to lose people and job, you know, offers or different type of specials because you fucking up. You know, Tiffany Haddish, in my opinion, she's still fairly new to the game. You know, she's out here. We all know who she is. Because her loud-ass mouth that we all love, but she's still fairly new to the game. And it's like, you know, we all love you, so don't mess that up because you want to go ahead and party until 7 o'clock in the morning. Be professional when you know that you have something to do the next day. And that's all I have to say about that.
You're right. And I want to say, too, like with that, I know, like with comedians, if you do, I love stand-up. And I do go to see, you know, stand-up comedians quite often. Like, I want to say I maybe went like 4 or 5 times to some comedians. But I will say that if you see somebody and they are like that, drunk and belligerent on stage, it kind of ruins it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like you should have fun. You should be a lit, but it's just to the part where you're drunk, you hadn't formed sentences. It's like, really? Like, what the?
Yeah.
Like, I want to say, I went to go see Lunel last year, and I totally lost respect for her. Cause she was wasted, you know, and I remember watching her interview on Black TV, and that's kind of how I was just like, oh, I love her opinions on stuff. Like, she gets that interview. She is low-key funny. Let me go check it out. But when I tell you she was wasted, like, I will never go see her again because of that. Because I don't got time. Like, you barely form sentences in your jokes. It's like, I love you, feel sorry for you. You know, you've been in the game. She said she's been in the game 20, 30 years. It's like, I see why. You know what I'm saying? You fucked up at a show. People don't want to deal with that. But
yeah,
I'm sure, you know what I'm saying, she's going to get it together. And this is not the start of her downfall. I feel like people are waiting for her to fuck up, and she has to know that. So hopefully it's just a lesson learned, you know. You too big to be doing shit like that now.
I agree 100%. So, Tiffany, get it together, girl. Get it together. All right, you guys, we're going to go ahead and go into that next topic.
All right, y'all. So, Daylight, Jalit, I'm about to be like Miss Andy Von Dreen because I can't pronounce his name either. If y'all don't know, he's a rapper and also a social media troll. He's like kind of best known for his interviews with Vlad TV. He comes into the interviews with different personalities. Like, I want to say, like, one time he pretends to be like this white man. He's kind of comical. And a lot of stuff he does say is satire, and you don't know if he, you know, say if he's being honest or being not. Or if he's not, you know, if he's just talking shit. And he has definitely said things that, like, are questionable. Like how he was saying, like, yeah, I'll fuck the shit out if he did. Like, he said that in a Vlad TV interview back in the day. And just little stuff like that. And he definitely has insinuated that. Made jokes about him being gay. Well, he, during a recent interview, he said, because Vlad asked, he was like, do you feel like knowing that our future has I can't think of that, Frank Ocean and the internet, the girl from the internet, and then also Tyler, the creator, who are all, you know what I'm saying, in the LGBTQ community. And they said there are also other members in our future that are gay and just have not come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are speculating Earl Sweatshirt and stuff like that. He asked, do you think, knowing that we can possibly have a LGBTQ hip-hop supergroup, you know what I'm saying, hiding in plain sight, because we've all... They've always posed the question of can a gay hip hop act work? And he talked about how basically he got more opportunities when he pretended like he was gay and was making those comments and interviews and stuff like that. He said he realized he would get invited. And he was like, okay, well, it's not a big deal. You know, he's comfortable with sexuality. But he said that once he would go to stuff and people make advances towards him, he's like, oh, no, I'm not actually gay. Then the opportunity started to dry up. So do you think that there is perks for a hyper-masculine male to pretend to be gay in a 2018 environment? Ms. Angel Von Dreen?
I feel like do I think that it hurts men?
No, do you think that it could be possibly a benefit?
He
got more opportunities when he pretended like he was possibly bisexual compared to when he actually started getting invited to different events and stuff like that, and people would hit on him, and he would be like, no, I'm actually straight. You know, it's just a joke. Then he said,
I don't know. I think that it's weird that if that was the case, you know, it shouldn't matter about your sexuality. But also, it just makes me wonder what type of events he was getting invited to, you know, and where he was going to where people, they were inviting him based off the fact that they thought that he was a homosexual man. To me also, It could be a variety of things. You know, maybe he just stopped advertising because he thought he was in the clear. Like, oh shit, well, you know, I'm good to go. They think this about me, woo woo woo. So I'm gonna, no matter what, get invited. You know, maybe he thought the fact that coming out and telling people, like, no, actually, this is just a joke. You know, I'm just joking around. This is not who I am. You know, maybe they just was like, well, motherfucker, you playing games. You know what I'm saying? Well, we not with that. You know, it's either this is what you are. Like, you know, how some people, they portray themselves as something. You know, people, they may not be with that. Like, you're a great actor, but this is not, you know what I'm saying, a place where you should be acting in or acting. You know, you shouldn't be playing games like you're one thing and you're not. You know what I'm saying? So, or as far as your sexuality go, playing games about your sexuality. And, I mean, he could have even offended people, you know, and that may be why he's not being invited to certain places or different things like that. So you just never know what the situation may be. I would like to know more about this and what was going on. But, I mean, based off of what he's saying, this is just he saying, you know what I'm saying? So we can't really go off of what he's saying, because honestly, there's a lot of people who in 2018, 2019, who still sitting up there and they feel weird. I have no reason. I don't know why. They feel weird still about having, you know, transgenders and people who are, you know, attracted to the same sex come through and do certain things. So it's just like, you know, that makes no sense to me, especially if you came out and was just like, oh, no, I'm straight. I feel like people, they would be like, oh, well, motherfucker, we good then. You know what I'm saying? So just because of how society, they look at, you know, certain people and different things and what people's situations are, because they're ignorant and they don't understand. But I don't know. I think it's weird. And we will have to look more into that. I really can't say a direct feeling on what my thoughts are, because I don't really know enough about this topic. But, yeah, that shit sounds weird to me. And he could also just be bitter, you know. But what are your thoughts about it?
I mean, I have a couple of feelings. He's a troll, so he could just be talking shit. Just be talking shit.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I think in society now, I can see it being a pro to be sexually ambiguous. To the point of where you can say, because there are straight men like that who are very much hyper-masculine, who very much clearly are fucking girls to the point to where people are not questioning their sexuality, but they do questionable shit. And that leads them to having a gay fan base. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see it all the time in, you know, the porn industry, you know, with, you know, different male porn stars who are straight, but they cater to, you know, gay art. They do stuff to cater to, like, gay audiences. And, you know, and just, like, in life, I feel like a lot of times, like, you know, straight men will flirt with, or not flirt, but maybe, like, entertain a conversation that clearly is a little risque, somebody for attention. Just, like, little shit like that. So, people, I feel like they are into that because it's kind of like a forbidden fruit. So I feel like with him entertaining that and saying stuff when he's clearly not gay, I feel like has opened him up to, like, a different community of people. You know what I'm saying? Compared to now, when you hear all the time about, like, all these straight men, like, just being overall trash, and it's just not, you know, this is not a good a good time for, you know, straight men. So as far as, like, in the media, you know, with all the shit going on about, you know, them overall just abusing their power and just doing fucked up shit. So I can see it being a problem. And then also, I would say, like, with me, in my personal life, I feel like me being gay, I feel like people don't take me as, people aren't a fan, like, it compared to, I feel like probably straight.
That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm probably straight, you know, a black man, same stature, same build, you know what I'm saying? I could possibly poses a threat. But I feel like me being gay, and I remember one time me and my fiance, we talked about this. I was just like, do you feel like there is sometimes there is pros to being gay? And I can see sometimes being able to get into a room that may not have been necessarily deemed for, you know, Jerome, but because people look at me, even though I'm this, not just talking shit, but like being serious, like, you know, people look at me as, you know, their friend, or like, you know what I'm saying, the token black, you know, gay guy, you know what I'm saying, like the accessory, you know, every girl wants a gay best friend, you know, type shit. So I feel like I'm a lot easier to digest, you know. And when I get intense and I get upset, people look at it as being, I'm just being sassy, and, you know what I'm saying, I'm just being, you know, that. But really, it's like, if I wanted to, I could beat your ass. You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, nigga, you know. But
yes,
people don't find me threatening compared to. So I can see it being, but there still is a lot of stipulations and a lot of people view it as cons to being gay. So, I mean, I feel like it's easier for me to get into certain rooms, but at the same time, there's still a lot of stipulations and shit being held over my head for my sexuality.
Yeah.
So, him entertaining that, and you know, it was funny because they started talking about, like, appropriation, and they were saying, like, how, you know, artists are starting to toy with that. And they were talking about Jaden Smith, who they're not sure of his sexuality, but him joking and him appealing to, you know, a gay audience, you know what I'm saying, playing gay roles, is that cultural appropriation. And it kind of is, you know what I'm saying? If you know that even though you're straight, that you are appealing to, you know, this group of people who you know want you, but they can't have you, so they want you that much more, you know, is kind of weird, but yeah.
Yeah. That is deep, Jen. It's deep. All right, you guys. Well, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic. Okay, guys, so according to Google, in the United States and United States politics, a government shutdown occurs when Congress fails to pass sufficient appropriation bills or continuing resolutions to fund federal government operations and agencies, or the president refuses to sign into law such bills or resolutions. Now, according to CNBC, the standoff, and this is regarding the government shutdown, now, the standoff has left about 800,000 federal employees pretty much working without pay or furloughed. The House, now led by Democrats, passed legislation Thursday night to fund agencies that have been caught in the border wall crossfire, but could still veto the measure even if Senate acts to approve it. Trump said, Trump said on Sunday that he should not have to lower his demand for $5.6 billion in the border security funding. So he asked Democrats for $5.6 billion, and they told him to kick rocks. In his battle with Congress over the border wall funding, President Donald Trump has leaned heavily on Twitter and to rally support among his followers. So far, the strategy seems to be working. That doesn't bond well for a quick resolution to the standoff. And based on CNBC review of his wall-related tweets, the effort is paying off. As of December 22nd, shutdown loomed. Trump linked President Obama's policy toward Iran with an ongoing battle over the border security in a tweet. He said, "The Democrats and President Obama gave Iran $150 billion, ain't got nothing, but they can't give $5 billion for a national security and a wall." And according to CNN.com, there are many personalized stories that are affecting Americans today because with this government shutdown, I know a lot of people, they know that a lot of taxes are going to either be held by the IRS for a longer time. Well, pretty much it's going to be held for a longer time. So if shit don't happen, you know, sometime soon. And with Donald Trump having, you know, part or a partial government shutdown, this is affecting a lot of people. So one federal worker is facing homelessness. Cynthia Letts writes, I moved and began my new federal job 1 week before the shutdown. I spent most of my savings getting here and can't pay the rent without a job. I'm looking at homelessness. And also, another woman, she says that her husband should be essential, quote unquote, enough to get paid. Kimberly Roberts, a stay-at-home mother of three children, says her husband works for Customs and Border Protection. She says that he has to show up for work without getting paid and has been forced on overtime shifts because of short staffing. We are just normal people who make enough to live. Missing paychecks, however, will be a catastrophe to our family. We don't appreciate being used as pawns in political game. It may not affect Congress to keep the government closed, but it definitely affects the regular families just trying to pay our bills, Roberts writes. If my husband is considered essential enough to need to work while the government is closed, he should be essential enough to be paid. So, Jen, I know you know, I'm sure you've heard as far as this goes that, you know, taxes and everything can be delayed. How would that affect you personally if the government continues to be shut down?
You said what? Repeat the last question.
I can't hear you. What you said?
I said not.
Oh, I was just worried
about that being late. I'm weak.
That's honestly what a lot of people there are worried about. They're worried about losing their job. They're worried about taxes being late, and they're also worried about. I had a third point, y'all. I'm gonna come back to it. But those two. Oh, and as far as food stamps, they're worried about, you know, which we already talked about this way back when. When Scott Walker was our governor, but they were about, you know, pretty much no longer getting food stamps. You know what I'm saying? So this is affecting a lot of people. And if you could imagine, it's a whole lot of people on food stamps. I personally know two, you know what I'm saying? Two people that are on food stamps right now, you know, and it's just like, you know, like, damn, you know, and honestly, they're not worried about it because they're so young right now. But older people who are, you know, needing this is really for real. Also, you know, retirement plans, just all of this shit is being affected by the government shutdown. But, you know, most people, the most tweets that I've seen is, and the most shit on Facebook that I've seen has been pretty much discussed as far as taxes go, because they're like, you know, I hope you don't hold the taxes. There are memes that have been created, you know, shit like that. And I'm just looking, I'm laughing, you know, and it would suck. You know, if you expect your taxes back in March, not get them into November. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you a motherfucker that got four kids and you getting $2,000 a child. You know, that's already $8,000 right there that you're missing out on, you know, until November. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's because half the IRS is focused on whatever the fuck Donald Trump got going on. But and the other half is trying to go ahead and pursue with helping out and filing the taxes and everything like that. So I understand, you know, I'm glad that I'm not moving and buying a house this year, because I was going to use a piece of that, you know, not a whole lot, but a little piece. You know what I'm saying? I claim zero, which is what everybody should do for my taxes. So, you know, they take a ton of taxes out of my paycheck every single time I get paid.
Zero.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't.
Yes.
Everybody's
different. Me and my husband, we both claim zero. You know what I'm saying? And it's a nice little treat at the beginning of the year.
Check back.
Well, last year we owed taxes for some BS that, you know, that had nothing really to do with, you know, anything of misappropriation. It was just we were ignorant and we didn't really know about certain things. But this year, you know, we was like, okay, well, we're working on certain things, you know, we do a little bit of saving, woo, woo, woo. And, you know, now to even think, like, damn, like, you know, we may not even get, I mean, and not being a big deal like that, but it's still like, okay, well, you know, we expecting this, I want to pay this off right now. You know, like, damn, do I have to wait until November to pay this off? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be 6 weeks. Is it going to be 24 weeks now? You know, it's going to be half a year now, you know, so that's interesting. And people like, you know, broke folks who.
But for me, because I am single, technically, I mean, because you're single until you're married, so. But so it's just, and that's why I want, not being a bad person, but that's why I do want to get married soon, because I'm just like, it's so many benefits to being married. But
benefits to being married and buying your
like,
first house too.
I know I'm about to be with my fiance forever, child. So it's like, why the fuck not? You know. But as far as with
Jen,
I don't get a lot of money back. Like I feel like what I get back in taxes is like less than a paycheck, less than I'm making a paycheck.
Oh,
so,
God damn.
I mean, it's okay. Like it's nice to, you know what I'm saying, get $1,500. You know what I'm saying, but. So, I mean, it's not changing my life, you know, compared to if I was getting like
Well, this year is going to be a little different.
You know, $5 some shit back. You said what?
This year is going to be a little different because you do get a tax. First of all, you pay for school out of pocket. So, number one, you're going to get a nice fat-ass tax break just for going to school. You know, that's number one. You're going to get a nice chunk of change back, especially when they see that you pay for classes in school out of pocket every month. Oh, yeah, that's number one. And then if you guys go ahead and buy your house or whatever like that, next year you'll get another. Oh, and next year you're still going to get a nice tax break, too, because you were in school this year. You know, so next year you're going to get a nice tax break. This year you're going to need a nice tax break for being in school. And then also next year, if you guys buy your house this year, you're going to get a tax break for being a homeowner. So these are the type of things. And then also if you donate things, like say if you donate like a nice couch set or hair or something, you know, you donate that. You get nice tax breaks, too. I mean, there are a tax break for every goddamn thing out there, really. You know, so these are great things. And, like, with the government being shut down, like, what the fuck are you doing? Because
that's
niggas will give you $5.6 billion.
You got to start giving me advice off air, honey. Let me know. How do I get this check if I get $5,000? Okay? For real.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to let you know, too. But I didn't miss it, but I'm going to listen this year. 2019, I'm going to get everything together, child, so I'll get $5,000 back next year, okay? Like,
Yes. But another thing, guys, before we move on to the next topic, I personally think, Jen, is that with Donald Trump, he wants this $5.6 billion. The Democrats, they're not going to approve to give you $5.6 billion. Why don't you get your own money? Okay, put up your own money for the border since it's so fucking important for you. And if you don't have $5.6 billion, which we all know he don't, he gathered all those supporters around him, and they pitch in and put in some money with their broke asses. And we'll see how far that gets him. And then another thing that my husband brought up, he's trying to build a wall. Okay, motherfucker, what happens when they start building tunnels? You know what I'm saying? You want a wall so bad, but people, they going to start going underground and start coming to, you know what I'm saying, U.S. through some type of underground shit. So it makes no sense that this is going on. Anyways, guys, you're going to go ahead and move on to not only our last topic, but our confession question. I kind of want to mix the two. We're going to do our confession question and our last topic in the same instance. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move on.
All right.
So, Jen, I'm just going to go ahead. Jen, I'm just going to go ahead and do the confession question. And then we're going to go ahead and base the story and our topic based off that. So, guys, we all know that we, I'm not sure if you all heard the talk of the town, but R. Kelly is the talk of the internet. And the show Surviving R. Kelly has aired. I think it was 6 episodes. I spent last night until 2:00 in the morning up until just 4:00 this afternoon watching and cooking and cleaning and listening to the episodes, all 6 of them, and it was deep. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Jenna talk about what this is, and then we're going to go directly into just talking about it. Let's talk. Let's talk about this shit because it's crazy. Go ahead, Jen. Sorry for cutting you off, brother.
No, you are fine. So this is according to the Grapevine, which is like one of my favorite websites. After 6 hours of footage out spread across three nights. Lifetime docuseries surviving R. Kelly reached dramatic conclusion Saturday night with its two final episodes, All the Missing Girls and Black Girls Matter. Executive producer Dream Hampton warned us that these final two episodes would be the most powerful, and they definitely gave us a lot to absorb and process. Here's what we learned during the final night. As of 2011, he was still in contact with the underage girl from the infamous sex tape. Kitty Jones, a former Dallas radio DJ, shared her story of her relationship with Kelly that began when she was 33 years old. 2 years into their relationship, she left her job and moved to Chicago to live with the man she considered to be her boyfriend. A friend of mine had said, "Have you ever watched the sex tape?" And I was furious with her and felt disrespected because at this point, this is my boyfriend, she said. But my curiosity kind of got the best of me, and I Googled him. And when I saw the images were the same girl that he had introduced me to a couple of weeks before. I knew immediately it was the same woman. I didn't know how to feel. I guess I felt like I was tricked into something. Disgusted by this revelation, she confronted Kelly about what she had uncovered. I called him, and I was very upset. He could hear me crying. He just began saying things to me that I had never heard before. She said, like, "Bitch, don't ever accuse me of stuff like that. Who are you listening to?" He beat me in the car on the way back. That was the first time he was ever physical with me. Reportedly makes his victims self-incriminate themselves with written statements. A former employee who chose to remain anonymous revealed, Kelly does make the girls write statements with false accusations against themselves, either saying that they stole something from him or their parents stole something from him or even that his parents tried to bribe him. I would call the statement some kind of insurance. And in addition to the statements, the fact his videos shows everything sexual they do with him, I see the videos of being something he could hold against them. He reportedly keeps his victims hostage, forcing the production team to stage a successful rescue during the filming. Chicago reporter Jim Dorogatis, who's reported Kelly's sexual misconduct for decades, dropped a bombshell report in July of 2017 in which he asserts that Kelly keeps his victims captive in both Atlanta and his native Chicago. We are then introduced to the parents of Jocelyn Savage and Azriel Clary, two victims who have gone years without contacting their friends and family and remain in captivity to this day. Jocelyn is best remembered for a TMZ video in which she asserts that she's living with Kelly on her own free will. Despite the troubling circumstances, Azriel is an aspiring singer who became ensnared in Kelly's web at 17 years old despite her parents' best efforts to prevent as much. But in one of the documentaries, most riveting moments, Michelle Kramer, mother of another one of Kelly's victims, Dominique Gardner, traveled with the production crew to Beverly Hills in May of 2018 in an attempt to find her daughter after seeing Dominique in a separate TMZ video with Jocelyn. The cameras captured her a manager at the hotel where Michelle believed her daughter was located. Thankfully, Michelle succeeds in her mission in finding Dominique in a hotel room, and their reunion brims with emotion. "Nika, I need you to come home," Kramer tells her daughter. "Nika, don't do this. If I came this far, Nika, don't you dare." Presumably aware of the danger of interacting with her mother, Dominique tells her mother to return at 6 p.m. However, when her mother returns, she's informed by the hotel manager that her daughter called 911 and told them that Michelle was not her mother. Accordingly, a police report was filed, and Michelle was informed that the authorities would be called if she didn't leave. But with her motherly instinct telling her something was awry, Michelle snuck back into the hotel, hid in the bathroom stall, contacted her daughter, and facilitated her escape. That's the hardest decision I ever had to make, a tearful Dominique admitted. It's later revealed that she returned to Kelly 3 days later, but left again afterwards, and is currently back with her family. The conditions he makes his victims live in are repulsive. While R. Kelly's massive estate might look like a castle, inside you'll find anything but. And speaking of the living conditions of his victims, survivor Johanda Pace said, "I felt like a prisoner. I didn't have anyone to talk to. It was just me. I went into a depression. I was mentally drained because he would break me down, then build me up, then make me feel like shit again, then do it all over again. He would really manipulate my mind. The breaking point for me was when Rob slapped me, and he choked me until I blacked out. Additionally, multiple survivors revealed that his victims were forced to use buckets instead of using the bathroom, and that the buckets could be only emptied with Kelly's permission. Why would you go from being able to use your own bathroom to going in a room where you have to pee in a corner? Asias Clary, sister of Ezreal Clary, asked. He had inside help with the Chicago Police Department in an attempt to check on the well-being of their daughters. The Clary and Savage families joined forces and urged police to conduct welfare checks at Kelly's various properties. I was told about the wellness checks being done at the house in Atlanta, as well as the studio in Chicago. The anonymous employee said, Kelly knew about the wellness check in Chicago before it happened because he has friends in the police department in Chicago who warned him. As such, the wellness check would prove to be fruitless endeavors. The police informed the families that both daughters had been contacted and neither was in danger. He's still abusing victims to this day. It's been almost 2 years now, and we still haven't seen our daughter. The parents of Adriel Clary said they haven't seen their daughter's school graduation in 2016. In one of the most gut-wrenching scenes from the docu-series, Adriel's parents believe they have finally found their daughter and begin throwing rocks and windows in a futile attempt to get her attention and stage their own rescue. However, they are unsuccessful in their mission. Later on, an anonymous former employee notes that Kelly has learned to adapt to the times. When the Savages first came out talking about Jocelyn, R. Kelly had meetings to strategize to fix the situation, they say. The first thing was to put Jocelyn in front of the camera on TMZ, which is something he ordinarily would not have done. As far as the video of Jocelyn Savage made, I would say that it was scripted because Robert does not allow those girls to say anything that he has told them not to say.
Not only that either, but Jen, did you watch the series?
I watched the first two episodes.
So on the fifth or the sixth one, I'm not sure which one it was, but with Joycelyn, she was sitting there and, you know, she was on TMZ or whatever like that. And, like, you actually seen somebody on her shirt, she had, like, a gray shirt on, doing, like, a cut, and they, like, zoomed in on it. Like, somebody was telling her, like, cut. Like, we're not going to talk about this. And I guess she, you know, was like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to talk about this or whatever the hell she said. But I watched it. I watched Andrea, and you guys know Jen and I, we talked about Andrea. I think in 2017, maybe we talked about her, Jen, or maybe last year we had a conversation about her. She went through a lot, you know, and she was R. Kelly's wife. They had three kids. Honestly, when I watched this, I was like, okay, look, these girls are 17, you know, they're 18, you know, some of them are 19. You know, they're teenagers, but what really upset me is when he had sex with that 15-year-old little girl when he met her when she was 12, and the fact that he married Aaliyah. I had no idea all this time that Aaliyah was just a fucking kid. I didn't know that R. Kelly married her when, you know, she was 15 years old and she put that she was 18. All the other women, and I'm not trying to say, like, you know, this is okay or anything like that. I just feel like they were starstruck. They seen this man. They seen R. Kelly. He was already, you know, putting out all these good songs. And that's what, another thing that they made it seem like, you know, because R. Kelly put out such good music, you know, people, they were just like, oh, my God, they were starstruck. This is R. Kelly. So if he tell me to take off my bra and my panties and he want to have sex with me and take my virginity, that's okay because it's R. Kelly. But also I feel like in a sense, like a lot of these girls, naive as hell, they knew what they were going into. They knew that they were going to go to this man's house. I know they knew that they weren't going to go there and play checkers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you heard the story. You know who he is. You know, you read up on him, you know his background, you see that he was doing some ridiculous, disgusting acts with all of these other women, all of these other kids, all of these other individuals who are underage. So it's kind of like, you know, well, where were the parents at? But also, not, and I'm not blaming by any means, you know, by any means necessary. R. Kelly, though, overall, you know, looking at this, knowing that he was 27 years old, which is old as hell, you know what I'm saying? I'm 28, but 27 years old, you old as hell to be fucking a 15-year-old kid. You know what I'm saying? Aaliyah was a baby. And then to know that it just kind of grew, you just kept messing with all of these teenagers when you got older. R. Kelly right now is 51 years old. Actually, R. Kelly's birthday is on the same day as one of my best friend's birthday. His birthday is in 2 days, okay? It is January 8th. So that's fucking crazy to me. And I'm just like, really? Like, this nigga is crazy. Like, you sitting up here and you fucking all of these kids, and you a 51-year-old person, and this shit is still happening even from last year. And I just don't understand what's going on to the point where he's not being indicted. He is okay, but, you know, every other shit is going on. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, that's just crazy. But ultimately, I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was crazy. I cried at one point of watching the whole entire documentary. And it was really disturbing to me. But also, I felt like a lot of the girls, they were young, they were going, and they knew that what was going on. I feel like they kind of knew what the situation was, what they were getting into, in a sense. But because they're so young, they didn't care. You know what I'm saying? But when you look back as a kid at people who you messed around with when they're much older, you look and you be like, dude, that motherfucker was gross, honestly. And I've had a revelation like that, too, where I'm like, dang, this dude was how old, and he messed around with me? Like, this nigga's disgusting. Like, you are a pedophile. Like, why would you even consider having sex with somebody, even if they seem like they were going, even if they seem like they liked you, they talking to you, they texting you, they want you? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's your responsibility as a grown-up, as somebody that's older than 25 years old, to say, nah. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how old they look, no matter how grown they look, it makes no sense to me. But, yeah, that was my thoughts on it. I thought it was crazy. Some of them little girls was going, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that still don't make it right.
Yeah, it does, because at the end of the day, they don't have the mindset to really even realize the danger that they are putting themselves in.
What about the 30-year-old?
You said what?
I said, what about the 30-year-old? Because I'm like, girl, you 35. Like, you could have been like, nigga, please, shut the fuck up. Like, sit there. I'm going to call you daddy. Like, you got me. I'm 27. I'm 28. And if a nigga tells me, if me and my husband, we divorced, and a nigga tells me to call him daddy, I'm going to say, nigga, you got me fucked up. I ain't calling nobody daddy, okay? I don't even call my motherfucking stepdad daddy, okay? So let's get that shit clear right the fuck right now. Okay, now I might be doing a little sexy thing with my husband, and I'm like, okay, daddy, you know what I'm saying? But that's every once in a while, you know what I'm saying? He's not gonna demand me to do no shit like that. He just look at me and smile.
I feel like during sex is not like a terrible thing, but definitely like just normal life. That is a little questionable. But I like back to what you were saying about the underage thing. My cousin, I remember she told me, and I don't know if it was her or if her older sister, was dating an older man, and she was saying at the time, 14, 15, she thought it was cute, but she was, like, looking on it now, being in her, you know, late 20s, early 30s, she was like, that man was really a pedophile, like, he really was a bad person. Like, you know what I'm saying, like, the fact that you real life are trying to sneak a little girl out, and you see she got ass and titties. Like you said, it don't matter. You could be like, oh shit. Like, you see somebody, and then once that mouth open, they'd be like, oh, I'm 15. You'd be like, oh no. Oh no, sweetie. I'm sorry. Like, we got the shit. Like, it's just like, it should be something in you that clicks. Like, no. Like, this, you are entirely too damn young. Like, I just feel like that's just, it's sick, because like you said, they are impressionable. Like, these are children who are horny, they are young, They are enamored by the fact of his celebrity and his money.
And they're starstruck.
But you cannot take advantage of that. You said what?
I said, and they're starstruck.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But you shouldn't take advantage of that. Like being a normal human being, just because you know somebody, a kid will fuck you or want to fuck you, you should know that that's not right. But in my opinion, I feel like R. Kelly's crazy. I feel like something's wrong with him. You know, the fact of him being mentally abused, they didn't say. Actually, no. Somebody did say. They said that he was like raped by a female family member growing up.
He was also raped by a man too. He said he was molested by a neighborhood man.
Wow. Well, yeah. I know that they were saying that he said that he used to have to eat this woman out and eat her ass and stuff like that. So it does fuck you up. And the psychologist, she had said something. Yeah, that's what I think. What she said was like very deep, that you want to be empowered when you feel abused. You know what I'm saying? And so often the power is being with somebody that you know you can totally control, like a child. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not making excuses for him, because that's still wrong. Like, I'm a victim of sexual abuse, and I ain't never been attracted to another man here, like, as an adult, ever. Like, to me, that's just weird. I feel like children should make you, being around children should make you uncomfortable, unless them young and kids. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The fact that she was plotting to take these little girls away from their family and doing all this shit and making the parents feel like they were in the best of hands. And like you said, the parents have something to blame too.
Evil.
Like everybody, I definitely feel like everybody turned a blind eye to money. And that goes with the parents. That goes with the authorities, the team. Everybody was wrong. And I think because it goes back to the fact of these are four adolescent minority girls, black girls. Nobody cares. And that's why we talked about this a million times, and I'm glad they're doing this documentary, because I get sick of hearing black women like you, like my other family members, saying that, and I hope this has opened y'all minds to saying how much y'all still love R. Kelly and all this shit when he is doing
it. It has, motherfucker.
Like, it's wrong. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a monster. The fact that you are ruining these girls, like the girl, I think her name is Javante Cunningham, and she was like, she's ruined many of women.
Wasn't that Aaliyah's best friend, Javante?
I believe that. I feel like when she was talking, that's the backup singer. When she was talking about Aaliyah, I felt like she was still covering for that girl. I'm sure she probably seen more than that. I'm sure she probably seen Aaliyah fucking on other girls and doing all sorts of crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, will be her legacy. She's not going to tarnish that. But she has to keep real and be like, yeah, no, I want them in fucking. Like, you know what I'm saying? And when she had said, you know, I saw a lot of things that a 15-year-old should not have said. I believe that. I believe that. And he knew. He toyed at these girls' costumes because he is a megastar. He is considered the king of R&B. And they thought they would have an opportunity, and some of them did. Like the girl that he pissed on, like, she wasn't a little thingy. You know what I'm saying? Like, she did have
She was only 14 when she started fucking, when her and R. Kelly started having sex. Like, I can't even imagine, you know, being 14 years old out there fucking around with a grown-ass 30-year-old man. Like, you know how impressionable they are. You know, I know when I was 15, I thought I was in love. You know what I'm saying? When I was 14, I wasn't even having sex at that age either. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was in love. Hell, I thought I was in love a whole bunch of times before. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the younger age, I had thought I had boyfriends. You know what I'm saying? So this is just all crazy to me. And then on top of that, the first thing I thought of when I'm talking to my husband, I'm like, you know, I tell you, he's fucking around with all of these girls. what is going on with him? Like, I know he's going to catch a disease. And on the last episode, you know, we find out the nigga got herpes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he had sex with a girl and gave her herpes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, nigga, so not only are you fucking around with a trillion different women, losing your home and all of that shit, you know what I'm saying, because you can't pay $30,000 for rent because your shows are being canceled and all of this shit like that, but you giving bitches, I mean, excuse me, you giving women STDs, non-curable, like, you're disgusting, so damn sick. And I just thought, when I'm like, damn, so this is just crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I read so many people who had watched this, like, you know, Chance the Rapper, he says, like, you know, I regret making a song with R. Kelly at that time. Neo, he's not with it. Who else? Charlamagne the God. He said, I've been calling R. Kelly a monster. Joe Budden. Everybody. They just like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Tank. Everybody is sitting up there like, y'all shouldn't. Yo, we've been telling y'all not to support him. He's crazy,
right?
And he's nasty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, to
and
me
I,
personally, that just shows y'all.
And if people continue to support that man, they are wrong. Like, they are dead. Because now the evidence is out there. I believe these women.
Yeah.
And you can say, whatever. Like, you can say, like, yeah, they were some hoes. They was a little fast. It don't fucking matter. They was 14 through 17. And you are a 30-year-old man. What the fuck are you doing with a 17-year-old? What the fuck are you doing with an 18, 19-year-old girl at 30 years old?
Right.
It don't matter them being pregnant. You knew the shit was wrong, and you still wanted to deal with them. So that's bullshit. If people continue to support them, that shows how fucked up they are, ultimately.
Yep, especially after watching this shit. You know what I'm saying? I was a little naive because I was ignorant. You know what I'm saying? I won't say I was naive. I was ignorant. I did not know. And I think I told you guys maybe two or three episodes ago, I will be watching this because I was not sure. You know, we heard what people said. We read the articles, but we never saw
And the thing is with Angel, where we from, because we from Milwaukee, you know, Chicago, Milwaukee is like sister and brother. We got some sort of protection over R. Kelly. Because that's where we find it's just like, no.
I just liked his music with an ED, liked his music. But that shit real fucked up, the way he did people, what he did, how he behaved, what he's doing. But I'm glad that, you know, you are Kelly and all of these other things are coming out, because he definitely needs to be held accountable because he's a fucking pervert. Like, even the fact that he was recording all of these acts, all of these girls had 3 and 4 songs with you. Like, this motherfucker was crazy. For real, for real. Like, you know, and then now you got these other women not being able to see their moms and their parents and stuff. Like, that to me is ridiculous. You know, I know personally, and honestly, guys, that's the reason why my mom, she was so hard. Like, my mom, she was like, oh, you're going to go by who house? Okay, let me talk to her mama. Let me meet her mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't going no motherfucking where unless I know who mama, let me talk to the mama. You know what I'm saying? When me and Jim first started being friends, mom wanted to talk to his mama. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, my mom was not playing that shit. Like, she was on me, like, you know what I'm saying, white on rice. She was really... Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of things I was, like, able to do, like the old girl said. Like, oh, yeah, mom, she worked hard, so I would sneak out of school. Well, I wasn't too smart, you know what I'm saying, when I was in 10th grade. When they called my mom, if they ever called my mom, because I'm in school, it was a wrap. But my mom, it got to the point where I was in 11th grade, and I started signing my own phone number on the papers and stuff like that. So if I'm in school, they would call me. But I really honestly didn't even skip school like that until I was a senior in high school. And I tell my mom about every time. Because I'm crazy, okay? Because I'm crazy. But but I definitely understand what was going on, why it happened, and, you know, what needs to happen now. And I hope that everybody who had went through that, the abuse, physical, mental, you know, emotional, they get the help that they need, because that is ridiculous. And I can't even imagine what some of them women went through, especially – I think he had two wives. Maybe it was just Aaliyah and the other wife. Andrea. Maybe it's just Louis and Andrea, but I can't even imagine what those women went through. The older women, though, I'm not trying to say the abuse is any less, but I honestly feel like they should have known better. You're 35 years old, you know. No, you shouldn't be submissive to anybody who's treating you like shit. Like, girl, you are 35. Like, get your shit together. That's stupid. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I do understand in certain ways, too, how people, they can fall into that starstruck, you know, situation, too. But, girl, I'm 28. Like I said, ain't no way in hell my black ass would be calling some man daddy that I just met, or because he got a little bit of money.
That starstruck shit is really for the birds. I sit and talk shit and say how I think about Beyonce and all this stuff. But these are normal individuals. And if you were in the environment to meet the motherfuckers, they'd be lame as fuck. Like, so it's just like, why does that matter? Like, no.
Exactly.
They shit, they piss, they're not giving you no damn money. And if they are, they want something more.
Right.
So it's just like, what, like.
May not even wash their ass well. R. Kelly doesn't look like his ass is that clean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, Brett
probably still stinking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think about this shit. Brett probably still be stinking everything. I'm like, no. No.
I'm
who
not about
gives
to ask
a fuck
you
about somebody being famous.
Right.
You said what?
You got me starving for 3 days. I said, I'm not about to ask you to eat. You got me, Angel Vondrina, my big ass, starving for 3 days? Oh, hell no. We about to fight. We about to fight. I'll let you know. So yeah, they was crazy up in there. They was crazy, especially the adults. Like, come on. I can understand how the 15, 16, 17-year-olds, anybody under the age of 25 was impressionable. But once you're 25 and older, it's like, come on, get your shit together. You know, like, there's no reason why this man should be trying to tell you what to do and how to live your goddamn life. That's crazy to me. But anyways, is there anything else that you want to go ahead and talk about as far as this question / topic goes, or did you want to go ahead and confess your love to some this evening?
No. I'm actually in my business watching these episodes after we finish the show. So, but yeah, I'm going to confess my love. I'm going to confess my love to life and continue to push forward and to just always just stay positive no matter what. And, you know, that's it. People that are good people and will continue to be good people, you know, I praise you. Don't ever change for nothing. Because ain't nobody going to make me motherfucking change. I'm always be who I feel like I am, you know. And that's just it.
John
is
going to be a crazy bitch.
Like? Not crazy. Wow. What do you think about your love for me, baby, by the way?
I'm going to go ahead and confess my love for my girl. She turns 28. She's a young one, you know. And all my friends and my brother is young as hell. All y'all motherfuckers young. Y'all get on my nerves. I'm the oldest one in the group. That sucks. But I'm going to go ahead and confess my love for her. She turns 28. Her birthday is, like I said, on the same day as pedophile, ugly-ass R. Kelly. But she's nothing like him. She's awesome, amazing, understanding, and she's just overall a really good person. And I love her to death, and she has just been such a good person. She's one of her best friends, and I love her to death. You know it's a question.
Oh,
so, cool. Girl, I'm confessing my love for you this evening, and I love you so much. And just have a wonderful birthday, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you will receive a phone call, you know, and a bottle of whatever that is you bought me for my birthday. So other than that, guys. Whatever it was, it got me drunk, okay? So, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get her ass drunk, too. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So other than that, guys, that's pretty much the ending of our episode, and we're going to go ahead and end the show tonight. Love you all. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to our show this evening. You all can expect to hear from us next week. Sunday, January 13th at the same time, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And we want to hear from you, so don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Tag us in the drama and send your emails to us at confessionsnumber2us@gmail.com. This is your host, Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, John Othello. You're listening to one of the only confessions.
Hey. Man, I love when your voice cracks. I'm mad your voice ain't cracked. Good night.
Oh. I'm all cracked out. All right. All right.